When we take the emblems of his body and blood that were offered for us to remember distinctly him in a particular, peculiar way, not working the miracles or parting the sea or calming the sea, but dying for us on the cross. The greatest act of mercy and love that God could ever bestow upon fallen man is to take our place on the cross. Amen. Become man, that he might die as a man condemned on the cross, amen, and that we might be forgiven our sins, that we might go free, that his mercy may be extended to us, praise God. And if you want to do some math sometime, look at all of the places where God is a righteous judge, and then look at the mercy that he wants to extend, and the mercy will always outweigh the other part, because God is just, but he's a merciful God, and this communion service is going to be really wrapped around the fact of his mercy, because we're still kind of in that mercy seat mode. And every time, regardless of how we approach communion, it will always be a result of the mercy seat. That's what it's all about, blood sprinkling the mercy seat so that we could be forgiven. And thank you, Father. Yes. As you give unto me this day, remember what I have given unto you. Yea, that I have given unto you, I require no price except your heart in full surrender. Yea, saith God, if you will love me back for loving you and surrender your life unto me, I will make your life a blessing. Yea, to many, saith God. Yea, and I will make your life rich in the things that cannot be bought with silver and gold, and I will provide for your daily needs, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. I don't know any better way to begin an offering than that. Hallelujah. And as a bonus, he'll take care of our light bill and all those other things that we need. Praise God. But the greater things go way beyond all of that, and that's what he's promised in Christ to you and me. So I want to thank you so much for giving to the Lord today, for supporting this ministry. I know it's tough times, but without your continued systematic support, this can't be here. It would have to stop, and we would have to pursue God for what else he wants us to do. But you've been faithful, and you've done a wonderful job. I want you to know that. It's not that we have an overflow. It's not that we have, but we have enough, and that's all we need. Amen. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, if I have to look way down through time and see it all, then I'm not actually trusting God for my daily bread. Praise God. But God has been faithful to help us through faithful people, and we bless you for that. Amen. Heavenly Father, I'd like to ask the offering blessing today, because, Lord, you said to us that you sent, and you honored us in a way that, Lord, only you could honor us. And you said, whoever receiveth you, who brings my message, receiveth me. And whoever receiveth me, receives him that sent me. And you said, Lord, unto me and others who carry the gospel, if you go into a house and they receive you, Lord, you said, let our peace be upon that house. Let our blessing be upon that house. You gave us the privilege, Lord, to bless in your stead those people who receive your word, and through receiving your word, receive you. So, Father, I bless this congregation today. I pray that you would make your face to shine upon them, lift your countenance upon them, meet all of the needs of their life, Father, and give them peace in Jesus' name. And everybody that will receive that blessing said, amen, amen and amen. Almost 100%. Praise God. I think it was 100%. Amen. Thank you for giving from your heart today. It makes such a difference to God. It makes such a difference to us. To know that people are still have confidence in what the Lord is saying and doing here. Amen? I want you to turn with me to Psalm 103 this morning. We're going to continue to talk about His mercy. Last Sunday, we talked again about the mercy seat, that piece of furniture behind the veil in the temple. We talked about the sacrifices. We talked about the two goats in that old system, the ancient system, before it became the temple and the lambs were being brought. They had two goats they brought on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. amen, where the determining factor was whether God would receive the offering and Israel be delivered from God's righteous judgments, or whether mercy would be extended for another year. One goat was taken inside, was slain, its blood was sprinkled behind the veil, and that was for forgiveness. But another goat was on the outside, and the priest did the same ritual of laying hands on, and we taught you last week that it was more than just the laying on of hands. They actually pressed down on the head of the animal, both on the inside and the outside, until the head was pushed to the ground. And what they were signifying was that the weight of the sin was being transferred to the animal. The full weight of the sin was being transferred to the sacrificial animal. The full weight of our sin was transferred to Jesus. And I've often tried to visualize that man that stepped out of the crowd to take his cross. He didn't do it out of compassion. He did it out of compulsion. He was compelled to do it. You got to read the scripture precisely. He didn't just say, "Oh, Jesus, I care about you so much, and you're already beat half to death. The least I can do is help you with your cross." The Bible said one of the soldiers compelled a man and told him, "You come here. You carry his cross." And out of fear, the man come and grabbed under the cross, and Jesus got a little bit of the weight of that cross lifted from him. But I'll tell you something that wasn't lifted from him, and that was our sin. He bore the full weight of my sin and yours in order for us to be forgiven. And that's what was signified. If we had a little goat in here, and we don't want to bring one in because goats do things when they're afraid. Can you say amen? They really, really do. Amen. I mean, they do everything there is to do when they're afraid, and they empty everything that's in them when they're afraid. And we would have an awful time with the carpet. But if there was a young goat in here, I would, or particularly a lamb, if we had a lamb to demonstrate, I would put my hand on the lamb's head and I would push its head all the way to the floor. And now it's ready to be sacrificed. The same way with the goat. They cut his throat. They sprinkle the mercy seat behind the veil. That's where forgiveness was obtained. But God does more than forgive, doesn't he? Amen. He forgets. Everybody say he forgets. He disassociates us from our sins. So the goat on the outside, called the scapegoat, the same thing. The hand of the priest is laid on the animal, is pushed all the way to the ground. And then a strong man who's able to run a great distance is able to take the goat miles into the wilderness and leave it there to die. It will never find its way back, not just because of logistics, because it's maybe 15 to 18 miles away and disoriented in the wilderness. The man abandons it in the wilderness, and the predators will make short work of the goat. I've often seen them use an animal to trap a lion or some other beast by tying an animal to a tree. You may have seen it in a movie where they tie a goat. I always feel compassion for the animal that cannot get away while the predator is bearing down on it. And the fear that you feel yourself, and you can sense the death that is going to come very quickly unless something happens to stop that. Nothing happened to stop what was going to happen to Jesus Christ, because it's the only way that he could save you and he could save me. He took the full brunt of our sin, and the scapegoat would never come back. That meant when God forgives sin, amen, he disassociates us from that sin. That sin is not going to come back to haunt us. Now, there is one, an entity called the devil. I'm going to define him to you today. The devil, D-E-V-I-L, is a different meaning than you might think. It means a maligner. It comes from the word diabolos, and it means a maligner, an accuser, someone that wants to find every flaw in Mike and magnify that to God and to people. Can you say amen? And I'm going to tell you something about yourself here today. If you don't know it, if they put you under a microscope, spiritually or otherwise, they will find flaws. Amen. We have all kinds of biblical terminology for positions, prophets, prophetesses, apostles, and reverends and most reverends. Someone said, "Are you Reverend Venable, or are you the most reverend?" And I always have to say, I'm just reverend. Reverence will be fine. Amen. That would be a something I don't... Well, I did get at work. They revered your pastor. Amen. They, when the name tags come back, they wouldn't let anybody on their jackets that they give you for safety things, you know, the safety awards, they wouldn't let anybody use their nickname, because some people call people nicknames that were not all that happy to be laid on them. You know, like one gal that had, her name was Susie, and they just called her. Anyway, I forget all the way they did it, but something that rhymed with lazy, because she was lazy. Amen. And she didn't want lazy on her jacket. Can you say, amen? So they said no nicknames. Absolutely no nicknames on the jacket. So they got my jacket ready, and they looked at my name, and someone up in the office says, no, nobody knows him as Robert. You put Robert on there, it'll look funny. And they made an exception for me. So they just call me Rev. Amen. R-E-V. Someone came in one day and said, Rev, what does that mean? And someone else said, he's all revved up all the time. Amen. And then they retracted that, and they said, no, that's not it. He's a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So God has been so good. Listen, it is so, I visualized one time. I thought, Lord, if we could understand that Old Testament of what was happening, that God not only forgives, but he forgets, but the full weight of our sin has to be pressed upon him. Each one of us, if we were in that crowd watching that, we wouldn't just get out there to comfort him and help him. We'd have to understand the sacrificial system. We wouldn't walk out and just volunteer to just carry his cross and try to take that load off of him. Because the only way we could forgive him is if your sin and my sin is downloaded onto him. Can't get forgiveness any other way. Sin has to be judged, because God is a righteous judge. He cannot. He's too holy. He cannot, in the name of love and mercy, just look over to sweep it under the rug. It demands his justice. So he said, how can I show mercy to fallen man and at the same time be a righteous judge? And he came up with a plan that the devil... If the devil had knew, you know what the Bible said? It said if the princes of this world, and we're not talking about Caesar and the kings, we're talking about the powers and principalities, the demonic netherworld. Listen, if the princes of this world had known what? That through his death on the cross, tens of thousands of people would be saved, they would have never crucified the Son of God. Can you say amen? Amen? Demons would have literally surrounded him to protect him. Amen. From anything hurting him. Can you say why? Because when that blood was turned loose in him, amen, a fountain. The Bible said a fountain was opened up to the house of Jacob, to Israel first, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. And that fountain, I still love that old song. There is a fountain filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're here today to honor him for that, to exalt him for that. If you were standing in that crowd and you understood the Old Testament sacrificial system, you would have to walk out of that crowd to portray that in Christ, to understand what he was going to do for you. And you would go out to this man that they're going to hang on that cross, and you put your hand on his head, and you would lean your weight, add your weight to his weakness, and push him down until his face is in the ground, and then get up and say, now I can be forgiven. See, I don't want to do that. But it had to happen for him to fulfill his purpose. He came to be a sacrifice for you and me. And make no mistake about it, those nails did not hold him to that cross. I love the way he let them know, I'm doing this of my own volition. You're not taking me to the cross. You're escorting me there. But you're not making me go. Because when they came and they said, "Are you Jesus?" He answered and said, after Judas had kissed him, amen, to point him out, he said, "I am he." When he said, "I am he," they fell back. The very power of God himself, hallelujah, was that. Listen, make no mistake about it. He wasn't some poor guy that they singled out and he was died a martyr's death. He was God incarnate. This blood came from Emmanuel's veins. And the angel told them, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," because Emmanuel being interpreted is God with us. God incarnate, God in flesh. To wit, the scripture said, God was in Jesus Christ. Amazing scripture, Sean. God was in Jesus Christ. Reconciling the world to himself through the cross. Hallelujah. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? To show what was really happening, we'd have to step out of that crowd as he tried to make it up that hill after his beating and lay our hands on his head and push it till his face is in the dirt and then let him continue to the cross. Instead of aiding and abetting him and comforting him, we would be adding to his burden. Our sin, make no mistake about it, was on him while he was on that cross. And I owe him big time for that. I don't know how you feel about it, but every time they talk about God doing a new thing, it just makes me want to turn it off. Amen, because communion is not to point us to something new that God needs to do or should do to stimulate revival or move in a fresh move. Honey, we need a fresh appreciation for what God has done at Calvary, at the cross. Can you say amen? I have been preaching the gospel for over 37 years, 37 in January at the Holy Church of God, but I started preaching before I ever landed here. But I want you to know something. I've heard it down through the years. God is going to do a new thing. Listen, God doesn't need to do a new thing. You know why he doesn't need to do a new thing? Because what he did is perfect. When Jesus said it's finished, He accomplished it. Can you say amen? All we need to do now is get in that book and start discovering what we have in him and start appreciating what we have in him and appropriating what we have in him and who we are in him with his stripes. It's not a new thing, honey. It was done at Calvary. Hallelujah. He heals today because of what Jesus did at the cross. He saves today because of what Jesus did at the cross. The Holy Ghost can come because of what Jesus did at the cross. I'm wary of the new things. In fact, the church can never go forward until she goes back. Back where? Back to the cross. What the prophet told ancient Israel, stand in the gateway. Stand in the byway and the highway and call for the old pathway. Wherein is that old path that we might what? Walk in it. Real revival comes when we seek out the old path. Why? Because it's the only path. Amen. God is not building new roads to salvation. Jesus said, "I am the road. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." Heard the true story of a missionary. He went down by airplane to South Africa. And after he left Nairobi, I believe it was, the airport, he got on a small plane, took him way out to a riverbank, and found a little clearing to land. Took a dugout canoe with a couple of people paddling it down this winding river to where they couldn't go any further. Then they walked to a village. And they were on their way to that village where he was going to share the gospel. And he had a guide that had been there before. And after a while, the path ran out. There was no path. And you know, he says, "You know, this, I don't know where we are. I'm disoriented, discombobulated." That's not in the dictionary, but trust me. Trust me, there are places in your life when it's the only appropriate word. Can you say, man? And he's walking along and all this thickness, and he's disoriented, discombobulated, and he turns to the guide and he said, "Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure you know where we're going? He just couldn't hold it back anymore. And he said, I don't see a path anymore. And the guy that's walking him around all this bush and stuff turned around and said, I am the path. Can you say amen? I know how to get there, praise God. That's what Jesus was saying. You can't figure it out. You'll never figure it out in a million years. But I am the road. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man can come to the Father, amen, by building his own road. That's why we don't need a new road, amen, because this path is not a thoroughfare, amen. It is a straight pathway. It is a narrow gate that leads to eternal life, and only a few there be that find it. I want to be one of those that follow the one who said, I am the path. Can you say amen? Because I know I'm going to get there safely. Yes, hallelujah. God is so good. And His mercies are new every morning. I want to read Psalm 103 before we receive communion. I want you to look as we go down through these blessings and God's, the psalmist's thanksgiving, David's thanksgiving. I want you to look at the mercy that is in Psalm 103. Someone said something. I'm going to read it to you about Psalm 103. I really love this. It's just a short sentence, short paragraph, I suppose, but it's all in one sentence. We are richer. Psalm 103 tells us that we are richer than we think. Isn't it amazing that today when people see prosperity, they see riches, they think of the material world? It should occur to the modern day preacher that there are things that can't be compared to anything in this material world. Eternal life is one of those things. Because you can't buy it with all the silver and all the gold in the world. Another thing is healing and help from above. You can't purchase that. Why? Because it's not for sale. You can't package and sell what Jesus paid for in full at the cross. Did you understand that? Somebody come in here and I put some kind of price before I would pray for them. Or tell them that God won't bless them unless they do something. Amen. I'd be violating that word. Freely you receive, freely give. In today's economy, you know what would happen at the Gate Beautiful where the man sit who never had walked? They would have came up to the man and told him, what you got in that cup? He said, well, I just got enough alms to get me maybe a cheeseburger or something later on. And so I don't, get something to eat, a little something to drink. He said, well, you better sow that into our ministry. We ain't going to pray for you. God ain't going to do a thing for you unless you sow that into my ministry. Let me tell you something. They said this ain't about silver and gold. They started out with letting him know if you were the richest man in the world, what you're about to receive, you couldn't buy it with all the money in the world. Can you say, man, what you're about to receive is bought and paid for at the cross. Amen. I'm going to tell you, silver and gold is not the trigger, amen, for your faith. Amen. Your faith, I'll tell you, the trigger for your faith is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Everything that, the Bible said he, because of that cross, has given unto us. Everything has given unto us. Everything has given. Listen, if we receive an offering, we receive it so we can tell others about him, so that we can encourage and exhort Christians, so that we can come together in a place, amen, and do the work of the kingdom. Praise God. But listen, he said, what I'm about to give you here, what's about to be transmitted unto you through the anointing, is not for sale. Amen. And I can't give you anything material either. Amen. Silver and gold. Say it with me. Silver and gold. Have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Can you say amen? And taking him by his wrist and lifting him up, he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he went into the temple, ran into the temple, leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this. You were not redeemed. Don't ever associate it, the two. Don't ever associate the two. The silver and gold with God's favor and blessing. Remember Felix, the governor? He had been used to being bought off with bribes. He thought, how can I get Paul in here to bring me my bribes so I'll let him go? He said, he's a gospel preacher. I'll ask him something about the gospel. He'll come in here and he'll tell me his stuff and I'll listen and get through it. But what I'm really after, amen, the Bible said that Felix brought Paul in and said, I would hear of thee concerning the gospel. But what did he really want? He brought him in, he said, expecting to receive something from him. In other words, if you bribe me, I'll let you go. You can get my favor with silver and gold. Can you say amen? People are telling people today you get God's favor with silver and gold. Can you say amen? Honey, I'm going to tell you something about God's favor. You got God's favor because that lamb was sacrificed in your place. The Bible said that we are accepted in the beloved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We used to sing that song, I'm accepted. He was forsaken. I'm forgiven. He was condemned. Can you say amen? I want you to know what yours at the cross isn't for sale. For you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Like what? See, you don't ever associate this with the blessing. As silver or gold. There is a law of sowing and reaping. And in the material world, we're talking about something, amen, that is not material. Amen. I'm going to tell you the blessings of the Lord are not anything to do with this material world. Amen. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I'm not talking about how much money you got. I'm talking about God's favor, God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's mercy. Hallelujah. It maketh you rich. Not to be compared with anything in this world. Everybody in this world, regardless of their status or station, one day they're going to draw their last breath. And when you draw your last breath, you go somewhere. Because of Jesus, you're going to heaven. That's what riches is all about. And until you get to heaven, you have God with you here, who said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you every step. You go through fire, look around. I'm in there with you. You go through the waters, I'm there with you. They won't overflow you. Can you say amen? Is that not rich? What Psalm 103 is telling us is that we're richer than we think. We're more blessed than we know. Wow. The Bible said He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. In that case, most Christians are more blessed than they know. Because they're interpreting blessings as whether I drive a Range Rover or an S10. Amen? I feel, listen, my little S10 just keeps right on going. I went to rent a truck because I need to move something. I went down to the rental place, Budget Rent a Truck, or Enterprise, went to rent a truck. Guy behind the counter says, you need a truck very often? I said, well, yeah, I could use one about every other week. He said, well, but I can't afford to rent one every other week. He said, I got one sitting in my yard. He said, it's an S10. It's a 93. It has 92,000 miles on it back then. It's 100 and something thousand now. He said, I got an S10. And he said something about a four-cylinder straight stick, you know, little S10. And you know, so he said, I, if you'd like it, I'll bring it down. You might want to buy it. And we didn't have any, you know, we didn't have silver or gold in our pockets, but we had plastic. We had a credit card. Deal, like, you know, he's offering me a pickup truck. I said, does it run? He said, yeah, it runs. It runs fine. I just put new brakes on it. And so he brought it down to the place, and I rented that truck that day. I come back, and there's a little black truck sitting there, and there's some people looking at it. People asking him, and I heard him say, but I promised it to that guy. They were offering him more money than he had promised it to me for. Amen. Already, he just pulled it down there, and already people went to buy that little black truck. See, God wanted me to have the little black truck. People look at my... See, I even fixed my mirror. Because it's got a light in it. It's got a light in it. It's got a wire run to it. So even when it falls off, it don't fall off. It just hangs down and swings. I take a corner and my mirror swings this way. I take a corner and it swings that way. I stop and it hits the windshield. I have to stop gingerly. I don't want to bust my windshield with the mirror swinging back and forth. I remember some of y'all were going home from church and I drove it. I pulled up beside, y'all were behind me. And I remember taking the mirror and holding it up so I could see you in my rearview mirror. I usually pull up beside some of you folks if I can down here at the place and roll down my window and say, Pardon me, do you have any Grey Poupon? That's an old commercial about uppity people, but just to see what they would say. It's mustard. Yeah, it's not that kind of, yeah. Come on, Ditter, stay with me, stay with me. We're more blessed than we know. I got, you know, $1,500 and I drove off in a little S10 truck that I've had for several years now and it's never let me down. It almost let me down in Tampa, but all it was a loose wire to my battery. I tightened it up and I'm off and running again. God, I feel rich in the Lord. Amen. Amen. And because I'm happy with, because I understand what true riches are and true blessings are, amen, I don't have to compete and compare to feel blessed. Because I don't determine or interpret blessings the way many people do that are earthbound. I'm not earthbound, praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to me. God is so, we're more blessed than we know, church. Can you say amen? For he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Actually, he said all things, all these kingdom blessings. That are beyond comparing without price. Listen, you were not redeemed. Don't ever associate it with your redemption. Because the blood can't be put on the level of silver and gold. Amen. Blessings can't be bought. He had Paul come in expecting to receive something from him. That he might give him his favor. All he received was the message that made him tremble. Can you say amen? When Paul got through preaching, and he didn't give him no bribe either. Can you say amen? But when Paul got through preaching, it said Felix reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and something you don't hear no more. Judgment to come. Can you say amen? And Felix trembled at the prospect of having to stand before a holy God, unforgiven. Thank God we don't have to tremble anymore. We don't have to dread His coming. We don't have to dread the day that we go to Him. We look forward to the coming of Jesus. The watchword in the church is Maranatha. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can't buy it at any price. Ain't for sale. Hallelujah. You can't buy God's favor. You know why? It's been bought. It's been bought. It's been bought with nothing that associates with the material world. Not the silver and gold that's held at such a high premium, but with the precious. Say it with me, precious blood. I said the precious blood. I said the precious blood. That man at the gate, beautiful, could be healed because of the precious blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross. Can you say, man, how was that communicated to him? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Can you say, man, praise God. Amen. We better quit and find a place of repentance for repackaging and selling. They did that. They did that down in Haiti. It's hard to find a pure way to give to people because we would take gifts that had been bought, paid for here, transport them without any charge at all to give to those children in Haiti. Sometimes the clothing, the shoes, and everything that had been purchased here, someone would intercept them after they left our control, and then they would repackage them and sell them. Are you listening to me? And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Something that's going to be given because someone else has sacrificed and paid for it, and now we're going to repackage it and sell it. That's fraud. Can you say, man? Listen, they could get away with it in that loose system down in Haiti, but you couldn't get away with that in America. Our legal system would prosecute you, amen, for taking gifts that were given and then selling them. If people give to a charitable organization that are feeding children and they start charging $1.50 a bowl for the rice and beans, amen, they're going to be in trouble. If they're advertising over TV, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is going to have them on the carpet. They're going to be prosecuted. They're going to be exposed as a fraud. Amen, brother. I remember I sat down at a pastor's lunch and I talked to next to the head of World Vision that feeds people all over the country. She was a pastor's wife. And she was younger than I. And I told her about the organization, I forget the name of it, but Lorne Green, who was on Bonanza, the dad on Bonanza, he was the spokesperson for them. And he helped promote them to feed hungry children. And people moved all over America to send money to help these poor hungry kids. But after an investigation into the organization, they found out that most of the money went to the administrative salaries and buildings and people who ran it rather than the people who needed it. And while they were asking for people to sacrificially give, they were taking the bulk of the gifts and on lavish lifestyles and salaries beyond what an administrator should get. They were up in the six-digit salaries. And they busted them and exposed them. Because 90% out of every dollar went into the salaries of the administrators, and one dime went to the children. And Lorne Green came back on TV and paid for it with his own money and put an ad on television and said, "I am chagrined. I had no idea, because I would have never represented anything like this." Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me. You can't package and sell for a price what Jesus has paid for at Calvary. Can you say amen? Oh, you can. And people are doing it today, and people think they can buy his favor. Honey, it ain't for sale. Amen. There's only one thing that could cause God to show you mercy. And it's nothing you can buy with silver or gold. It's nothing you could do with all your life and sacrifice. The only thing, amen, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? If that blood hadn't sprinkled that mercy seat, a rich man can't buy his way into heaven. A man can give his body to be burned and he can't make it to heaven. Can you say amen? You can't give enough to the poor to earn a right to enter in. Amen. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from how much sin? Every bit of it. Can you say amen? You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Listen, after the tradition of your fathers, they believed that you buy blessings. He said they ain't for sale. Amen. If they were for sale, there would be no price great enough that a man could ever acquire if he acquired the whole world. One thing stands out in the Scripture: the precious, priceless blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you're richer than you think you are. Woo! And you're more blessed than you know. We have more than we realize. We frail, mortal sinners are rich in the mercy of God. Amen. How dare us? How dare us, in the name of funding the gospel, package and sell what was bought and paid for at Calvary? When I was dying of leukemia, becoming emaciated, jaundiced because the liver was being affected, and I had hepatitis, yellow, pallid, even my eyeballs were turning yellow. My strength was gone. 8 years old and no energy. Spent most of the day lying on a couch. When they took me, my pastor then, my dad's pastor passed away, the same within the same period of Pamela's mother, my mother-in-law. Brother Joe Woodward pastored the Tampa Revival Center. You Hodges seed in here, amen, that are affiliated, amen. Your mom and daddy went to that church. They were probably there when I got healed. They saw God move. You verified that it was verified to her, amen. Our history goes way back in this covenant thing and this powerful God thing, amen. There was an evangelist there. I don't remember his name. There's only one name I remember, And that is when I went before him. My mother took me in one of those healing lines. He was asking for nothing. Amen. They received an offering for him to get to his next meeting. Amen. He wasn't building a dynasty here. He was spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. His motive was pure. He wasn't selling what Jesus paid for. He was giving it away. Can you say amen? Because Jesus paid for it. Can you say amen? He was doing it like Peter and John did it. And God was moving like he did in the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. They brought me before him. My mother went to tell him about leukemia. He just bypassed her with the word of knowledge. And he's a country preacher. He wouldn't have understood all the medical lingo anyway. But he understood the Spirit when the Spirit spoke to him. Amen. Concerning me. And he said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the cancer that is in this little boy's blood. And I command it to leave him and let him go. And it left me. And the next day I'm filled with energy. And my mama told me, she said, you came in from playing with Poncho, my dog. Oh, Poncho was building up energy all the time I couldn't play. He was ready to run and jump and have a good time. Me and Poncho spent the whole morning playing. I come in, my mother felt like I'll be exhausted. I'll need to lay down. I'm overdoing it. And she had some, they had given me high potency vitamins. We had no insurance, but they got the best vitamin mineral supplement they could. Even told them to give me candy. I was kind of happy about the whole thing. I didn't understand. They said, just give him anything to boost his energy. Give him all the candy he wants, you know. In other words, he's going to get sick. He's going to die. We'll get him in the county hospital. You have no insurance. They'll help him die. Amen. But God didn't want me to die. He wanted me to live and glorify him. Can you say amen? And he wants you to live and glorify him. Amen. Only time he wants you to die is when it's time to come home, and then you're not going to die. You're just going to move up a little higher. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He that believeth in me, he will never die. And I'm a believer in him, so I'm never going to die. Brother Bimble, what if you fall dead right now? Oh, I won't fall dead. This old bone bag may crumple to the floor. Can you say amen? If it crumples to the floor, I'm going up a little higher. Hallelujah. That's the faith. That's the true riches. That's the abundant life. It's a life that conquers death. Hallelujah. It's a life that lays hold to eternity. I look in the mirror year after year and I see a man who's aging. Amen? I don't know if you've ever looked in there lately. But if you've got a picture of you 20 years ago. Is there a picture of him 20 years ago? You got one of him? Was he naked? No. He's older than that. Okay. Sean's got all the goods on everybody in here. Be very nice to him. He knows it all.
It was at my wedding.
Okay, at your wedding. And yeah. Just don't even go there. Amen. Isn't it good to know? Amen. I'm rich today. I'm rich today. Does that mean that there'd be anything wrong if God gave you a brand new super duper double clutch and E-flat truck out there with all the goodies on it? No, I drive it. God's a blessing from the Lord. But I'm not going to wait for that truck.
Amen.
To acknowledge how blessed and rich I am. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. In fact, I'm so happy with this one when God may just give me a nicer truck one of these days. And that's going to be great. And I will drive it and tell you how blessed I am to have it. But I'm not going to worship God anymore because I drive up in that truck than in the next 10. You understand? Because my blessings are beyond anything that this material world can represent. You can't buy that stuff. God healed me. They called it spontaneous remission. Doctors are real hard-pressed when it comes to miracles. They don't know how to define them because they don't want to acknowledge God and seem too religious, a lot of them. Except there are those that will give all the credit to God that will tell you right up front, we treat, only God heals. Can you say amen? I like those kind of physicians. Praise God. Amen. We treat the symptoms, but God heals. And he does heal today. And I'm here today as a witness. I'll be 64 in January. Is that right? 64? Sometimes you lose count when you get above 60. Amen. Some of you ladies lost count at 50. I don't understand how that happened. How old are you? Oh, okay. God did it. And when he prayed for me, there was no price, because what was about to happen to me was paid for somewhere else in full. Couldn't buy it if you were a billionaire, because it ain't for sale. It's beyond price. It's called the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can you say amen? Why is it unsearchable? Because you can spend a lifetime reading that book and just begin to scratch the surface of what it means to have a creator as holy as our God and mighty as our God take on flesh. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. Can you say amen? Not Xmas. They tried that out. They tried it out in Walmart and just about lost their status as the number one company in the world. They told their employees, do not say Merry Christmas. You might offend somebody who don't like to hear the name Christ. Unless you curse and use that name, it's okay. But don't say it in a respectful way at the Christmas season. Amen. Even though it's Christmas, Christ Mass. Can you say amen? Don't say it that way. Say Happy Holidays. Happy winter solstice. And there you are with this buggy full of Christmas gifts. Can you say amen? And somebody looks over the counter and says, Happy Holidays. Okay. Happy Winter. They got so upset about the name Jesus or the Christ, the Messiah. In school, they wouldn't let them sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come. That's off the list at Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. It's off the list because Christ is in it. And they're so determined to not let Christ have an influence. Then they even quit having a Christmas party, a Christmas celebration at Christmas at some schools, and they had a winter solstice celebration. If you really want to get down in that, there's some religion and all that too, because you go back to the Druids and some of the pagan rituals. Right. Amen. Amen. Christianity is the thing that keeps popping up and bothering people and bringing such a violent reaction. Why? Because there's no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, this is all sacrificial language. There is what? No remission of sins. No back door to heaven. No other way. He's the road. He's the path. He's the highway to heaven. Can you say amen? Glory to God. God doesn't have to do a new thing because what he's done in Christ is perfect. You say, Brother Rimmel, that's old school. Honey, that's the only school. You can call me old school. Listen, I was old school when I started preaching at 27 years old. Actually, 26, came to pastor at 27. Green is the grass. Amen. Church like to have killed me. Amen. Christians like to have done me in. I really love you guys. What a breath of fresh air. I mean, you're great. We sure got whittled down, though, didn't we? The crowd and us got whittled down. There's less flesh in my preaching. I'll guarantee you that. I'm not dependent on the guy that walks between my arms. I'm dependent on the guy that's living on the inside of me. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. You're richer than you think you are today. Praise God. And somebody needs to tell you about something the Bible calls true riches. Amen. To be rich in you. To be rich in you is all I want to be. One songwriter said, to be rich in you in obscurity. Praise God. Hallelujah. No good thing, they said, ever came out of Nazareth. We want him to come in a chariot with white horses and the man shows up on a donkey and we just don't get it. Can you say, man, we just can't handle it. Heard a preacher say one time, trying to justify his own opulence, you know, he said, Jesus rode on a donkey that had never been ridden, and God wants you to have a car that's never been driven. And I thought, it's all right to have the blessing of a new vehicle. I bought one time. Amen. It didn't last as long as my used vehicles, because my used vehicles were blessed. And I was depending on the new to take care of it. And the new don't take care of anything. They all rust out after a while. They all give problems after a while. And that milk carton under the seat finally sours and it loses that new car smell. Can you say? Can you say, man? One year the power went off. All over Tampa, they had blackouts. We had our family coming for the big Christmas turkey, had a big boy, over 20 pounds, one of them big boys. Eat that whole leg, just gnaw on it, never stop till it's bone. And don't feel like you've overeaten because all I had was a leg. Turkey leg. Amen. She got that thing in the oven, got it half cooked, full of that gravy, giblet gravy in the pan, you know, pan about that thick. And the power went off at home. Well, I said, the power's on at church because I hadn't left yet. So I zipped home, and I had a Buick then. I put that pan in the back floorboard in my Buick, and I hurried to get it down there before it got too cold because it was cold weather. And I was taking the corners, getting back to church to put it in the church oven, and all that giblet gravy was coming out in my carpet. I didn't know that at the time. And I got it, and I jerked it out. I didn't see all that gravy that soaked in the carpet, giblet gravy from the turkey. And I put it in the oven there, and guess what happened? Power went off at the church. And it still wasn't done. And my wife, did I finish it at church? I brought it back home. Anyway, long story longer. Listen to this. Amen. We eat that bad boy, didn't we? Okay, we eat it. Okay. It's been a long time. I got to check. I've added memory. I've added memory. About 150 gigs. The next day the sun came out bright and hot like Florida is. One day you've got your coat on, the next day you've got your air on, you know. Bright and hot, and it must have got 100 degrees in that Buick sitting in the yard. And all that gravy, giblet gravy, with all that meat, it smelled like. We tried everything. We put everything in there. We did everything we needed to do. But we smelled that car up. We hung the green trees all over the place. You need to stick one up your nose, really. Can you say amen? Just to drive the thing. And like a turkey had died and rotted in the back seat. And I don't know, it just took away that desire for seconds that I usually get. Amen. Somehow or another, I don't think I want any more turkey till next year. And it was awful. Did you know there are things that can spot and stain us, and nothing can get it out. Nothing. When I was growing up, and we got to hurry, but when I was growing up, I heard a true story of Corvettes, everybody's dream. If I had a Corvette Stingray, and I could get, it's a chick mobile. You understand, it wasn't just to run down the road in. It's because the chicks would dig it. Amen. See, I know some of you don't understand dig it, but it's just, you understand what I'm talking about. Amen. Oh, if I come up in a Corvette Stingray, Pamela would really dig me. She'd think I'm groovy. Can you say?
Just something that would run.
So we heard, something. First date I took her home, I had a BSA motorcycle. We roared off. I got my honey behind me on my motorcycle. We roared down to 7-Eleven, going to get her a Pepsi Cola, done sold some bottles. That's back in deposit bottles. Yeah, you sell some bottles, you can take her out. Amen. Got me a half a gallon of gas in my tank. Got me enough money for two Pepsis and one of those big, big cream-filled donuts. I give her the donut. Amen. And I'm going to impress her. I got her on the back of that motorcycle. We roared up, and we stopped, and I got the two Pepsis, and that come out of that store, you know, and I got on my motorcycle, cranked it, and there it was. She wouldn't do a thing in this world. Had to sit there and call my daddy, and he had to bring a rope, and she's riding in the car with my daddy, and he's pulling me with a rope, and I'm sitting on my BSA with a rope, and there's my honey sitting up in there looking back every now and then to see if I'm still back there. And where am I going to go? It's the same old run. Story of our whole beginning, wasn't it? We never rode it again. That electrical problem nobody could ever fix. Incredible. But listen, there are stains. The Bible said to despise even the garment spotted by the flesh. There are stains, sin stains, won't wash out. And you can't wash over, you can't paint over them either. Can you say amen? There's only one detergent strong enough to take out the sin stain. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me whiter than snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Bought, paid for. Hallelujah. All of you that have believed on me, repented of your sin, and received my forgiveness through my mercy and grace, you are my purchased possession. I lay claim to you, and I seal you with my Holy Spirit to mark you as mine, saith God. Hallelujah. 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 You're richer than you think you are. More blessed than you know. So when I hear of God doing the new thing, I'm saying, what in the universe is better than this? What is bigger than this? Why can't we be stimulated by this? Why should he have to do something new? What they do to sell products, if it's, see, this is not for sale. They always have to come out with something that's new and improved. They told you what was on the market last year is the best there ever was or ever could be. But now that you've got used to that, they're going to have to make it new and improved. When people lose the first love, then they have to try to re-edit the gospel to attract them. And we have to come out with a new, improved version. No, we don't. Because it won't be the gospel. Because if you start adding to it, it's not the gospel. If you detract from it, it's not the gospel. And the church that can't be stimulated by the gospel, as it is a backslid church that needs to repent, not to be given something new to entertain them. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Why should we have to do something new and different? I heard Chuck Swindoll this week. He said he went to a church, part of these conferences they have, and it was one of the mega churches, and the pastor swung out like Tarzan on a rope. Had a rope suspended from the rafters, and he comes swinging out in this mega church like Tarzan and dropped to the floor. He's ready to preach. No, he's ready to entertain. He's already started out like a Cirque du Soleil for Christians. I remember a brother in our church one time, he tried to put words in my mouth and my wife corrected him. I was back there praying, trying to get the mind of God for the service. He decided he was going to help promote our Sunday school. We were doing pretty good back then. We were using the balcony. We wasn't in trouble, but he was going to, and you know, this is how you do it. So he came out and he was opening in prayer, and after he got done, he says, and he volunteered me without speaking to me, and I'm in the back room praying over the service. So people have been saved and healed and delivered in those services. The anointing was flowing in those services. And he said, if we get 100 in Sunday school next Sunday, Brother Venable will preach the gospel from the roof of this church. And my wife spoke up and says, no, he will not. And I'm sitting back there saying, you got that right, sister. Can you say amen? Number one, you don't want to be up on the roof of that big old church. And number two, if it was a flat roof and only 8 foot high, I don't play those games. I came on business for the King. If a man was playing those games when they took me down for prayer, I would have died before my 9th birthday. Amen. I'd have been pushing daisies before I was 9 years old. Fertilizer for the Williams, can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you something. I'm here today because we didn't play church. We didn't play games. Amen. What attracted people was the cross of Jesus Christ. And can you say amen? And when people came because of the cross, God showed up and God showed out and healed people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! I'm going to read this. We're going to receive Holy Communion. This is that blessing psalm, and I just want to preach every verse of it, but I'll try to restrain myself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. It's true riches coming on you now. Who forgiveth all of thine iniquities. Top shelf. Top shelf. You're going to heaven. You're not going to hell. Makes me feel real rich today in my S10. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender, say it with me, mercies. This is a celebration of God's mercy. All these benefits is all flowing through mercy. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He maketh known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. Say it with me. The Lord is merciful, verse 8. And gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He's not just celebrating healing. He's celebrating mercy. Because mercy is the avenue through which healing flows. He's not just celebrating deliverance. He's celebrating mercy. Because mercy is the avenue that deliverance flows. He will not always chide. Neither will He keep His anger forever. In other words, He's a righteous judge. But look at verse 10. But He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You know what that means? You didn't get what you deserve. What happens when you don't get what you deserve? Mercy. What happens when you do get what you don't deserve? Grace. He is not... What you know what David said? He said, Lord, if you marked iniquity, take your pick of the best of us. If you marked iniquity, who could stand? Mother Mary couldn't stand. Abraham couldn't stand. Paul couldn't stand. You couldn't stand. The Pope couldn't stand. Billy Graham couldn't stand. No one could if God marked iniquity. But He hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy. Say it with mercy. Toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Can you say, man, that was that scapegoat led into the wilderness. The one goat's blood is sprinkling the mercy seat. The other, that means God forgives and God disassociates us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. Say it again this week. That old goat ain't coming back. Do not look at your husband when you say that. Like as a... I told you not to look now. You didn't look? Okay. She pleads innocence. She didn't look, brother. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right. Look at verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. That's all mercy. Everybody say it's all mercy. For He knoweth our frame. And He remembers that we are but dust. That's why He's merciful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, my expectation out of you is not perfection. It's repentance and sincerity and honesty. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know He remembers that we are but dust? As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But listen to verse 17. Something is constant. Oh, Baba Hosanna, this is why death is conquered. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. And His righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep His covenant and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens. His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Why? Just for healing and deliverance? No, no, because His mercies are everlasting. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Healing is a bonus. Deliverance is a bonus. Mercy. Mercy. Blood on the mercy seat. And God sees that blood. Underneath that lid is the law that we all broke that condemns us. Right underneath that lid is the law that testifies against everybody in this room. Amen. And he that offends in one point is guilty of all of it. But what happens? They put a lid over it. And you sprinkle the blood 7 times on that lid. And those 2 seraphim on top with their wings interlocked to cover that lid. They're not looking up to heaven. They're not looking at each other. God commanded them, make sure they're looking down at the mercy seat. Because he said, I will dwell between the seraphim. And behind that veil there will be a presence of God where he manifests himself in the earth to that tribe, that group of nomadic people. Amen. And he says, what I'm looking for on this mercy seat in order to forgive you is that blood sprinkled. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Can you say, man, this is a day of great rejoicing. Every time we celebrate communion, we're celebrating Yom Kippur. Praise God. Sprinkled blood. Sins forgiven. The church should have never quit shouting about that. The pulpit should have never quit proclaiming it with passion and enthusiasm. It became old hat. And because it did, we got away from the cross. And we're looking to God for something new and improved. And there is nothing better than this. And the great revivals around the world are based on Christ and Him crucified. I was looking this morning, my wife and I, just before we came. And I may bring it and put it on. We're bringing a TV down here. It's got a little corner with a little dark spot, but you'll never notice it once you get into praise and worship. And we'll roll that bad boy out sometime because our gospel is going into Africa. And we've got some emails from Africa. And it showed mixing some of the Zulu and stuff with praise. Something's happening down around Cape Town, South Africa. There's a great Congress on World Evangelism there. The church in South Africa, Christian church, has grown in the last year 3,000%. That, with souls coming to Jesus. The church in South Africa has grown 3,000%. That's incredible. What would happen if this church grew 3,000%? That means it'd be 3,000 times what we have in here. That means we'd need that building right there, and there'd be standing room only. Amen? How many? 31 times. 3,000% would be 31 times. Well, that'll work. We still need that building. Praise God. Because if we did that in a year, just think what happened the next year. Hallelujah. When all those people go out and win somebody to Jesus. It multiplies again. But to watch those people praising God, and I didn't know the language, but I felt the power of the praise. And then I began to look up the language to see what they were saying. And some of the things they were saying to God is just, Lord, thank you for your work in me. Help me to be yielded only to thee. And the Amen song, Amen, when they began to dance before the Lord, and you could, you know, that big high cry of praise, it just, I mean, stimulated. I said, that's, and you know what's driving that revival? Silver and gold? No, honey. Jesus and Him crucified. There's a revival in China under heavy persecution. They say, according to the Inland Missions reports, that Asian missions, 20,000 people a day are coming to know Jesus Christ in China. Marxist, communist China. 20,000 a day. You know what's driving that revival? Amen. Amen. Jesus and Him crucified. There's a revival in South America that a few years ago, Ruth brought me the commentary in Time or Newsweek magazine that they were sending high-ranking cardinals from Rome to see what was going on because they were losing people from Catholicism over to Protestant, and not just Protestant, but Pentecostal Protestantism of all things. Can you say amen? And they wanted to know what was going on because churches were growing from 50 to 5,000 in 18 months. And they wanted to know what was going on. And they got down there and they found out what was going on. Amen. They're preaching Christ and Him crucified. Can you say amen? The true riches, praise God. And people are embracing that message. And God is doing, because of that message, what He always does when that message is received. Saving, healing, delivering, and setting free. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. Oh, hallelujah! And so here we are once again to celebrate Christ in a particular way on the cross, giving His body, shedding His blood, putting our hands on His head as He stumbles up Golgotha Hill, each one of us stepping out of the crowd, putting our hands on His beaten face and His briar-pierced brow, the sweat and blood. We push His head down till it touches the ground. Then we step back and say, that's how much He loves me. He's taking the full weight of my sin. I don't listen to anything new and different to stimulate me. I turn the television off. I turn the so-called prophet off, because if he knew what he was talking about, he'd be preaching Christ and Him crucified. But look how many's following. Listen, it doesn't make a bit of difference. That doesn't make anything true because people follow it. What makes it true is because God said it. Can you say amen? And He said it here. He don't need to tell somebody to bring us something different. He needs to get a hold of somebody that'll take us back home. Can you say amen? So that we can have a revival in America like they're having in China. So your kids can get saved and not just get entertained at a church somewhere and live their same old wicked life. Can you say amen? Go to a Christian school and live their same old wicked life. Can you say amen? We need a revival in America. Hallelujah. People, and I want to be one of those people. Hallelujah. That's riding the crest of that wave when she breaks. Preaching what's going to bring it, praise God. Hallelujah. We're here for some reason. And this gospel is going on the radio and it's going to Africa. And Oslo, Norway. And Bosnia-Herzegovina. And the United Kingdom and Australia. Praise God. God is a great and mighty God. Open the doors where my gospel is preached with no ulterior motive. I will open the door where my Son is exalted and the cross is lifted high. And I will send my word to the nations of the world and the peoples to whom I have sent it, saith the Spirit of God. God's going to do it. God is doing it. And nobody is going to have to pay 1 cent to hear this gospel. They're still waiting for the hook, and there is none. They're still waiting to see. Wait for the big push, the big pull, and there is no big push. There is no big pull, because this is God's work. Can you say amen? It's God's work. They didn't have nothing, but they took the gospel to the nations. Can you say amen? They didn't need television when the whole city is filled with joy from God healing the sick, saving the lost, delivering the captive, and casting out devils. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. The men have come here that have done what? Hallelujah. That said, we don't have any silver and gold. Well, how in the world did they get it done? Amen. But such as we have, we give away. And what did they give away? That turned cities upside down. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. The men have come here that have turned the cities upside down. Now the men have come here that are superstars on television. Outside that church in Rome, I've never been there, St. Peter's Basilica, a high-ranking cardinal stood with a man about to defect. And they're standing there together. And they're watching as the riches are being brought into the church. It doesn't mean ministry shouldn't be supported and ministers shouldn't be supported, but this was just all of back, way back when it was just a one-way street of pouring in. That church could say we're the richest church in the world. A Laodicean attitude that's crept into Protestantism and modern day evangelism. Their testimony is the same as Laodicea. I'm rich, increased with goods. Don't believe it? Turn on your television. It'll keep showing up over and over. And they suppose that gain is godliness. And the Bible says when you hear that from such, turn away. Don't go after it, but turn it off. That's what the scripture said. Not what they say, but what the scripture. You're impressed with their money and their power. God is not impressed with any of those things. Because you were not redeemed with any of those things after the tradition of your fathers. So the high-ranking cardinal is standing there by this priest who's about to defect. And the high-ranking cardinal looks over at him and knows he wants to get him back and impress him with the power and the pomp. And the gold and the silver. And he says to him, the time is long past that the church has to say, silver and gold have we none. And this priest who's disillusioned with it and wants to see what God promised come to pass, he turned back to him and said, yes, and the time is also long past when the church can say, such as I have, give I thee. Can you say amen? And I believe we need it back. Because when I went to pray for Sean, I went to give away something that Jesus paid for. I want everybody in this room, before we receive communion, I just want you to come stand around this man for a minute. We'll receive communion in just a moment. You know why I believe God's going to honor these? All of, and I know we've already prayed. He already has a testimony of faith. But I just think it's the thing to do right now. Because I had a legion on my tongue. And they sent me to a ear, nose, tongue, and throat specialist. And he said, I can take a biopsy. We're going to have to cut out a big chunk of tongue. And it's going to bleed for a long time. Or you can wait a while and come back. What do you want to do? I said, I want to wait a while and come back. Came to church on a Sunday morning. My brethren gathered around me. My brethren laid hands on me. This thing had been there for 3 months and it wouldn't go away. And of course, something always comes to your mind when there's a sore like that won't go away. Sustaining and growing. Every time I ate or drank, I could feel that place always in the center of my tongue. And the devil would torment me with all the possibilities. But after that prayer that morning, such as we have to give one another, we give. This is a church where we know that this is bought and paid for in full at the cross. Praise God. So, Father, such as I have, such as we have collectively, that no man's name save the name of Jesus get the glory for the help and the healing complete in this body, for the report that we have claimed, Father. Such as we have, we give our brother right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Be made whole from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. In the name of Jesus Christ. And for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I know this man will give you the praise, the honor and all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb. Sister, would you serve us communion? Brother, would you play whatever you choose? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give him praise.